You can start. Okay, I was asked, I think it was, it's fine, I'll send this to you. I was asked, I think it was Motzei Shabbos, what the title of the shiur was. So I said the first few words that popped out of my head, which was Pesach perspective, and I think I was asked to make it more specific. So I thought another word that began with P, which was prioritizing Pesach perspectives. And then it was changed to Hashkafa. I think that's obviously what it looked like. So it's not really Hashkafa, as you can probably see. I'm not sure what Hashkafa I'm going to do with all this. But we will meet and discuss some sort of outlook on Pesach. And the truth is, understanding what the mitzvahs of the night and what the mitzvahs of Pesach are, that's also a very important perspective. So, Mitzvah, we're going to come up with some very important things. What we're going to be discussing is how to calculate what a kezias of matzah is. Why am I discussing this? Because this is a very contentious discussion. In many households, what typically will happen is, this is certainly what happened in my house as a kid growing up, my father would give us a piece of matzah as we were young. And until we went to yeshiva, we just did whatever my father said. Then once we stepped foot into yeshiva, and we came out for our first Pesach, he said, how can you give us so little, Daddy? You need to give us more and more and more and more. It became more and more every single year. Until we started giving lots to our wives as well. And we basically need to know, do we really need to eat so much matzah? Where does it come from? Is there room for a bit of manoeuvring if a person's not so well? And what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with chumras? Is it kulas? Is it stringencies? Is it leniencies? So what I want to do is I want to go through with you basically how it's described in halacha, how to calculate kezias, and then we'll see a little bit about what's going on. So the first place to start is who says we should eat kezias? Where does it come from? Are women even chayv in matzah? Are women chayv in matzah? In eating matzah? The chayv? Why are they chayv in eating matzah? Because they do it. The truth is they are chayv, but it's a very big question. Because we know that women are exempt normally from time bar mitzvahs. And the mitzvah of matzah is a time bar mitzvah. So why should women be chayv? Women aren't chayv in tekiyah shofar. Women aren't chayv in sukkah. So why the chayv in mitzvah eating matzah?
Because it says
so. Because what? Because they also came out of Egypt. So that is nearly a good reason. That's not right. It's nearly the right reason. Let's stop with matzah for a moment. Let's go to the chiyuv of drinking 4 cups of wine. Why are women mechuyev in drinking the 4 cups of wine? They are mechuyev to drink the 4 cups of wine. The reason is because Chazal say in 3 different places that there's even though certain things are time out mitzvahs, still women are obligated. That's Chanukah, Purim, and Pesach. I spoke about this last Chanukah or this Chanukah about women being chayav in Chanukah candles. A lot of women don't know this. Women are chayav to light Chanukah candles as much as men are. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. The basic answer is the Mishnah Berurah is a lashon of ishtei kegufoi. That when the husband does it, the wife is automatically exempted through him. And we discussed this here. We definitely discussed this here. That if, for example, a husband will be in work at the time of the chiyuv of Chanukah Neiris, the wife should light for him. Just like she'll be yotze if he lights, he'll be yotze when she lights. That's the halacha.
Yeah. Even if I'll come back later to do it.
Yeah, the Gates Rav explicitly told me. I'm sure I mentioned this in the shiur here last year. The Gates Rav explicitly told me there was someone who had some sort of work event and he was only going to come home at 9 o'clock the evening. So I asked the Gates Rav. I said, "What's better? What should he do? Should the wife light, or should he light when he gets home?" He said, "Ideally, the wife should light at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whenever it was." He said, but obviously, if there's any other things taken into consideration, like the wife will feel awkward, the kids will start getting all confused, then there's room for manoeuvring. But really, ideally, the wife should light on time. Why? So why is it that by Chanukah, Purim and Pesach, even though it's time by our mitzvah, still women are chayav? The answer is, the Gemara says, Afhein hoyu ba'isei nes, they were also part of the miracle. Which means one of two things. It either means that they were affected by the miracle, which means by Chanukah there was various decrees and the women were also saved when the decrees came out. By Purim was the same thing. There was decrees that everyone was supposed to be killed. The women were also saved. And by Pesach, the women were also saved from Mitzrayim, which is what Mrs. Klein was saying. That is what Tosfos says. Now, the reason I'm going to tell you what the Rashbam says, there is another reasoning brought in the Rishonim, the early commentaries. The Rashbam says it's not just that women were affected by the miracle, but rather the women effected the miracle. It was because of them the miracle came about. Purim is because of Esther. Chanukah, Yehudis. Pesach. The Yerushalmi says, "Bischus noshim tzidkonios sheba'isoy hador nigalu." In the merit of the righteous women of the generation, they were redeemed. Who are the righteous women of the generation? The Rishami says it's referring to the women who, when the husbands would come home very tired from a day's work, they would energize the husbands by taking out a mirror and basically doing a ancient type selfie with the husband, like a mirror, and allowing them to see each other like that. That is Bizchos Noshim Tzidkonios Shavuos Hadar Nigalu. That's where they're redeemed. So therefore, that's why women are obligated in the four cups of wine. They're obligated, again, why? Because Afpein Hoibo Isanes, they were also part of the miracle. Again, either because they came out as well, or because they actually affected the miracle. What about Achilles Matzah? Why are they obligated to eat Matzah? For a different reason. The reason why you need a different reason, you might say that they should also be chayim the Matzah for that reason. But no, because that first reason only helps you for mitzvahs d'rabbanan, like the four cups of wine. But for matzah, which is a chiyuv d'oraisa, the Torah says very clearly, you've got to eat matzah. That's actually learned from a drosha without going into it too much. Basically, the drosha is since they are obligated not to eat chametz, they're also obligated to eat matzah. They go together for whatever reason. Lovely. That is how we know that women are obligated. How much is everyone obligated to eat? A kezayis. Where does that learn from? Also, Gemara, that whenever there's a chiyuv to eat something, the chiyuv to eat something is a kezayis. Now, what's a kazayis? So you might say, what was that?
Size of a cassette. That's what we learned in school.
The size of a cassette, okay.
That's what children would think of a cassette would be very well.
And the thickness? And the thickness? The thickness?
I don't know, that's what we learned.
No, it's about right. It's about no. But not with matzah, not with matzah. The thickness as well.
Yeah, I think the size.
The volume. What we're going to do is, we're going to go through exactly, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to go through exactly the way the halacha says to work it out. And then we'll see how much it is, and we'll see how we feel. We'll see if we want to take the halacha or not. But let's go through exactly the way the halacha puts it. It's very, very interesting. I've got all my stuff here. No, you have to do all this before Stephen, right? So let's go through all the stages. So. We're going to start from, got the wrong one. Right, we're going to start from, if anyone wants to know where I'm reading from, I'm reading from a Biur Halacha in Simon Reish Ein Aleph, Seif, Yod Gimel, Dibur HaMaschil Shal Revius. Okay, so the context of this discussion is how much a person needs for Kiddush. How big his cup needs to be. Because basically the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that the cup needs to be able to contain a Revius. Now, let's get out of our mind any numbers that we have. Because we're going to work forward. We're gonna see the calculations, then we're gonna hear what everyone else said, and then we're gonna see if it fits together. Right? So again, the cup needs to be able to contain something called a reverse. Right? We'll see soon what on earth that's got to do with maths, huh? We'll see. Okay. It's gotta be able to contain a reverse. How much is a reverse? It's really worth writing this down because it's calculations. How much is a reverse? A reverse is, and you've got to follow it along. The reverse is, you don't have to, but it's worth it. No, you're right, but I want to go through what they say.
Right, okay.
A reverse is, you'll see soon why. A reverse is 1.5 eggs. That's what Gemara says. It's 1.5 eggs. Okay. Simple enough. Take an egg, and you have wine, which is 1.5 eggs. What does that mean? An egg's not wine. An egg's like a solid. How on earth do you make it into a liquid? Eureka. Right. So, it's like this.
It's when you put an egg in and
that. Yeah, displacement.
Science.
What? I don't know. Okay. Okay. So it's going to be the displacement of 1.5 eggs will be reverse. Now this sounds, it's quite simple. The only problem is the following. The only problem is like this. This is all from the Be'er Lacha. Be'er Lacha quotes a experiment which Tzlach made. The Tzlach was the Noda Yehuda, I think. And he brought a sefer called the Tzlach, which stands for Tzion Lenefesh Chaya. It was a sefer that he wrote, Le'il Nishmas's mother. He wrote the sefer called Tzlach, and he brings the following question. He says, the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim brings two ways of calculating how much a reverse is. Two ways. One way was through calculations of a person's body, like 2 finger breadths by 2 finger breadths by 2.7 finger breadths, I think. But basically uses the body to calculate it. And the other method of calculation was done through the size of eggs. The Gemara brings 2 calculations. So again, one using body parts, one using eggs. And he says he did both calculations. He went and did the experiment. And it came out that the experiment with the body parts was double that of the eggs. Again, it was meant to be exactly the same. Right? Two methods are coming to the same thing. It's like talking about ounces and grams, right? Two methods are coming to exactly the same thing. And the method of the body parts came out to be double that of the eggs. Now what? What do we do? So what do you think the difference... How would you reconcile this problem? Or what are the possible solutions?
Average.
What's that?
Average.
Meaning?
Average it out, add them together, divide by 2.
Okay, no, I hear that. Meaning we've got some sort of mistake, let's make some sort of compromise.
Yeah?
Anything else? And is there any way of reconciling the contradiction? The Gemara says there's 2 ways of coming up with the same thing.
So
and it's not the same.
Maximum.
But what happened?
Different size fingers.
Who said that? What do you mean? What do you mean from times of the Gemara to now?
Between people,
okay. So you say it could be... Right, so that's it. Those are the 2 options. The 2 options are... I mean, there's one option is the Tzlach made a mistake. Which it could very well be. It could be he made a mistake. How? Don't know. But we can discuss that later on. But the 2 main ideas are, if we're going to take on the Tzlach did not make a mistake, and the Gemara didn't make a mistake... Then there's 2 things which happened. Either eggs went smaller, they shrunk, or men became bigger. Agreed? Those are the 2 options. Said the Tzlach, I've got proofs that man did not become bigger, even though we might say there are actually proofs that man did become bigger somewhat. But Tzlach said, I've got proofs man did not become bigger, therefore, eggs shrunk. Niskatnu Hashirim is his expression. He says, the eggs which they had the times of Chazal were double the size of our eggs nowadays. Everyone with me so far? That was his. That was his. What's the right word?
Compromise.
Not compromise. My mind's gone blank. That was his. Whatever. That's what he said. Yeah. That's what he said. His conclusion is the word I was looking for. Right. That was his conclusion. That eggs then were double sized. They are now. Fine. Okay. The only problem is, says the Bir Halacha. Bialoch's got a big question. So that was the Tzlach experiment, right? So based on the Tzlach, let's see how it's going. Based on the Tzlach, if the Gemara said that Revius is 1.5 eggs, then how are we supposed to calculate a Revius nowadays? We have to take how many eggs? 3 eggs, right? It's gonna be 3 eggs. Okay. But the Bialoch's got a big question on this. Big question. His question is the following. Again, you have to follow with. It's just a little bit another. It's another experiment which the Chavetz Chaim himself did. The Chavetz Chaim is the Mishnah Berurah, who is the Bir Halacha. They're all the same person. The Shlomo Kagan, he was Nifter in 1933. They're all the same person. And he says the following. He brings a Gemara in Yuma that says the following. The Gemara in Yuma says that a person who fills up his mouth completely with liquid, that amount. Will always be more than a revius. Again, a person fills his mouth up completely, like that. That amount will always be more than a revius. And the Mishnah Berurah speaks. The Chavetz Chaim speaks out. He tried it with many different people. They filled up the mouth and they spat it out, and it was never more than 2 eggs worth. So again, let's get this clear. Again. What's a revius? It's either 1.5 eggs or 3 eggs, right? It's either 1.5 eggs or 3 eggs. Chazal says 1.5 eggs, it's slack, it's doubled, it's 3 eggs. That's one point. The next point is the Gemara in Yuma says that if a person fills up his cheeks full of water and then spits it out, it will be more than a revius. And he said no one could get more than 2 in. That means that 2 eggs worth, that means that 2 eggs worth is going to be more than a revius. That versus the Mishnah Berurah, the Tzlach has a very strong argument because of his 2 experiments, and it came out double. Because he's got a very strong argument to say that now eggs are half the size they used to be, but I've got a proof not like that, because of this experiment. Okay, so what we want to do is, let's try and work this out. Let's try and work out what's 1.5 eggs? What's 3 eggs? But the reason why we should work it out is because the Mishnah Berurah, who we normally follow in Halacha, says the following. He says, regarding questions of Doraisa, questions which are Minat Torah, like Matzah on first night Pesach, he says you have to be worried about the Tzlach, that what we have nowadays is half the size of what they used to have. For Doraisas. He says, for the Rabbonans, that we'll speak out all the practicalities at the end, for the Rabbonans, he says you don't have to worry. He says for that you can stick with 1.5. Yeah? Okay, so let's try and work this out. Let's try and see ourselves how much 1 egg is. Okay. Is this an average egg? Yeah. Okay. Let's try. I'm scared of it. It's not displacing, is it? It's not displacing straight away, is it? Shall I put more in? No, some's come out already, I think.
Yeah,
that's it. There we go. Okay, right. That's 1. Right, let's see how much that is. How much is like spilling everywhere? Rifka, you just go, look away. Take off.
Water, it's in water. Is that right?
It's in water. There we go. Right, let's see what this fills up. That's 1 egg. Looks a lot less than it should be, I think. No, it's not, it's bang on. Right. What's 1 egg? Let's sort this out. It is just less than 60 millilitres. Just less than 60. Is that right? I think so. Let's try another egg. Let's try and get an average. Now, I've got to realize the Chazon Ish said it's 50 milliliters. Reb Chaim Nor said it's 58 milliliters.
Where's 86
come from? Yeah. We'll see, we'll see.
Okay.
That's it. No, this is stuck. Okay. Okay. It's fine, we'll leave it, we'll leave that. We'll come back to this.
Half of 60.
What's that?
Half of 60.
What is?
We'll make half an hour.
Yeah,
correct.
56, half.
Correct. Okay. So it's like this. The Chazon Ish said that an egg is 50 milliliters. Reb Chaim Nor said it's about 58 milliliters. Because of this, the Chazon Ish said, again, the Chazon Ish took on like what the Mishnah Berurah said, you've got to double it. Therefore, he said you've got to have three eggs for a Revius. Therefore, what's 50 times 3? 150 milliliters. 150. The Chazon Ish said it's 50. He said an egg's 50 milliliters. We just calculated ours to be 60, right? But he said it's 50. He said a Revius is 150 milliliters. He said an egg is 50,
yeah.
Right? He was worried about about Niskat Nushurim. He was worried that everything is half the size. And therefore he said Revius is not 1.5, it's rather 3. 50 times 3 is 150 milliliters. And therefore, because of that, the Mishnah Berurah said, Friday night where Kiddush is Do'iraisa, then a person should try and be careful to have a cup which contains 150 milliliters. Okay, so that's important. We'll come back to that soon. Okay, so that's regarding Friday night. The rest of the time, the Mishnah Berurah says, you do not have to be worried about eggs being smaller nowadays. And therefore, you said you can go with half the size, which is 75 milliliters, according to a egg being 50, or, like Reb Chaim Nor says, like you said before, on 86 milliliters of what Reb Chaim Nor says, that's 1.5 eggs. That's how we get to 86 milliliters. By the way, Reb Chaim Nor says, he says that 86 is gematria, kois. That's the way to remember it. A cup is 86. To which the Chazon...
Not for Friday night.
So he says always.
Always.
And the Mishnah Berurah says, for the Raisas, be very careful and double it, otherwise you can keep it simple. To which the Chazon Ish said, you say that kois is 86, kois hogun, which means a correct cup, is 150. Anyway, fine. So that's regarding the cups. That's regarding a Revius of wine. Right? So again, either 86 or 150. Now, more importantly, what we want to know is regarding matzah. So now I've done all the background information to what an egg is. Now we can find out what the
chiyuv. These measurements, are they the same for the Seder, the four cups of wine?
Yes.
This,
yes. So therefore, this year where it's Friday night, ideally the first cup should be 150 milliliters. You'll find that most cups are about 150 milliliters. It's not a lot. This is up to there, it's 150. Yeah? For the first cup, 150 milliliters, ideally because it's Friday night. And then the rest, 86 is absolutely fine, or even 75. Okay, fine.
Is that your opinion?
That's the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What's that, Rivka? So you should drink at least most of it, and ideally the whole thing. Okay. Well, I'll speak at all the practicals at the end. Just a few more minutes in regarding the matzah. Okay, a few more minutes regarding the matzah. Now, here's the hard part for a lot of people eating this stuff. Let's go through it. So again, how big is an egg nowadays? Let's be lenient. Let's say what the Chazon Ish is. It's 50 milliliters. Yep. So an egg is 50. It displaces 50 milliliters. How big is a kazayis? So I'm going to quote to you what the Shulchan Aruch says. What's a kazayis? So you may think kazayis is an olive. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Tov Peivov, he says a kazayis is half an egg. Okay, let's take his word for it. A kazayis is half an egg. If a kazayis is half an egg, so how big is a kazayis? According to our shurim, 25. But if we're worried about everything having shrunk, then you gotta be worried that it's 50. You have to be worried that a kazayis is 50 milliliters. Yeah?
Yep.
You have to worry that kazayis is 50 milliliters. Which again, lot. Right? Does that look like a lot? That's how much matzah you need to eat. And that's if you machmir. Again, this is talking about doubling. Yeah? Doesn't look like a very lot.
If you spill it over the table, it gets...
go on, what are you saying?
If you spill it over the
table... Oh, forget that.
Correct, right. What she's saying is this is all very nice. Yeah, it's not a lot. But what is this when you turn it into matzah? Okay, so here we go. Right, so this is how you work it out. This is what I'm about to say now is the way Reb Dovid Feinstein speaks out. Reb Dovid is Reb Moshe Feinstein's son. And let's just quickly go through it, and then we'll be able to see practically how much matzah you need to eat. And then we'll say it doesn't actually need to be that big. It can be a little bit less. Let's go through it. Reb Dovid Feinstein says the way you need to do it is like this. He says you need to work out what the liquid of an egg is, or a kezias is, which is this. You then crush a matzah until it's that amount, basically turn it into a liquid, then weigh that amount in matzah. Once you've done that, then you'll know how much matzah you need in weight. Right, making sense?
Yeah.
Let's do it. What do we need? How much do we need? 50, let's call it 50 milliliters. Let's see if we get this right. What was that? No, you can zero it, can't you? You're right. Gosh, I'm not good at this. That's why I keep out of the kitchen. I do understand. I do understand.
No,
I'm first of all working out. Is it a plastic cup? So what we have here, I'm going to take it out a second. What we have over here is 50 milliliter of matzah. This is 50 milliliter of matzah, right? So again, you all agreed this was a kezias lechumra. Again, when I say the kezias lechumra, I mean doubled up. So this is a whole nowadays egg, right? So this is also a kezias lechumra. Agreed? Okay, so we're going to put this in here. I could have done it the other way. No, it's fine. I told you, we work differently. Right. Go on, just get it going. Right, is it zero? No, I want it in gram. Or whatever.
There you go, yeah, zero.
Yeah? Yeah. What's it, zero and what?
0 grams.
Grams, perfect. Perfect, 29, right? 29 gram. That's bang on, I think. One second. Hold on a second, I think it's bang on. So I took up from Guidelines, which is a book, which is Guidelines for Pesach. And they say there, first say the 25 gram. So we've come up with 29 gram. Okay, it's quite similar. But based on our experiment, this is how much should come out. Okay, it doesn't look like too much, does it? Right? Let's see how much matzah is. We're looking at 29 gram. Okay, let's see. That's 11. You know what, let's get a whole machine big matzah. Let's see how much a whole machine big matzah is and work it out from there. A whole machine big matzah is... whole machine big matzah is 36. That's 29. It's a machine big matzah minus this. That's kezias. So practically speaking, this is, besides for this, is a kezias.
Yes. You take off the top. It's about six. Or two, just over
it's
two.
It's pretty much machine made matzah.
Yeah. The hand bake is heavier now.
So just measure it, 29 grams. Now, one second. So do you all see how we got there? Yeah? Yeah, it's all very logical how we got there. Now, let's break it down a little bit. Reb David Feinstein came up with this. This is pretty much what everyone does. This is how everyone comes up with these calculations. It's by taking this amount and translating it into this. However, there are many poets going to say, I don't know why it's like this, but they say it doesn't work like that between solid and liquid. Rather, they say, when you're translating from liquid into solid, then to get that same volume of liquid into solid, what you do is you halve the weight. Again, yeah? What you do is you halve the weight. Does that make any sense? Because liquid is much more, what's the right word? Dense than solid, right? Therefore, what you do is you don't just do what we did, right? Rather, what you do is you halve the weight and then of the liquid, and then that amount of volume that's in such a solid, which is half the weight, will be that same amount of volume.
It's pretty similar there.
Will it be?
Well, it is, no, because half of 50 is 25, and we just got 29.
In the weight. Let's see.
Let's see.
How do we do this? Like this. Right. So what is this?
53.
Okay, we save ourselves...
How much?
Couple, what is it,
53?
53 grams. 53 grams. So we save ourselves, we go down to 26. Okay, so we save 3 grams. Not bad. Getting somewhere. Which may be how they got 25 grams here. Okay, but those are basically two different ways of working it out. Mm-hmm. So we save ourselves maybe... Like a small amount of math stuff. But let's get something clear here. This is where we start shaving off bits of matzah. Because this until now is, if a person eats a machine-made matzah, eats one of these, they've done everything. You've doubled it, you've done it according to both calculations, you're good to go. However, there's a lot of room still for much more leniency. Let's start off with the fact that all these calculations we said just now are all doubling. The Tzlach was considered to be an individual that said this. He was only an individual. He was the only one that said this. The Mishnah Berurah said no one else has ever been worried about it. The Mishnah Berurah said ideally for the writers be worried about the Tzlach. But that means if a person's not feeling up to it, then they don't need to double it. And therefore what does that mean? That means practically speaking, a person can have half a machine-made matzah and he's certainly okay. There's room for even more leniency. Because in the place where the Mishnah Berurah defines what kazayis is, so again, let's get clear, so far, we've got a full matzah, full machine matzah, you're a brisker. You're doing everything according to every single chumra possible, you're covering every single view. Got no issues. If you're slightly not feeling up to it, halve it. Halve it, no problem. It's not issue. Mainstream poiskim didn't go like the Tzlach. The Mishnah Berurah came along and said a chumra, try and double it. You don't need to double it. So half machine and maxa, no issue whatsoever. When we machmir, do it full. If you don't want to be machmir, do a half. There's room though for more maneuvering as well. Because the Mishnah Berurah speaks out that a kazayis is half an egg. But he brings, in the name of the Rambam, it's actually a third of an egg. Therefore, if a person, the Mishnah Berurah speaks out clearly, if a person is a chayla, not well, or it's hard for them to eat matzah, they can have a third of an egg. And the Chazanish himself actually said, you can rely on this lechatchila. It's no problem. You can have a third of an egg. So again, if a person is not feeling great, that's a half, let's say. If the person's not feeling great, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And again, this isn't dodgy. This is still dealing with complete mainstream Mishnah Berurah. If a person's not feeling great, do it like matter, it hurts them, they can have this amount. What is this? In weight. Okay, it's quite little. It's 12 gram. 12 gram.
Would that be enough for mercy in a Shabbos?
Yep.
To binge.
Yep. They're all machmirim. They're all machmirim. But yes, it is enough. It is enough.
But you had to have a kazayis.
No. You have to have a kazayis. For benching, you need to have a kazayis.
Does that have to be a third of 50?
What's that? Yeah. This is a third of 50. This is the third of 50 according to our calculations. What's that? Right, or fifth by three, yeah. And last year, I was told a big chiddush by Rabbi Yisrael Rakov that the stipler held, this is a big chiddush, he held a kazayis the size of this. Surprise, surprise. He said, this is an olive. He says, the Shulchan Aruch, which discussed... Yeah, okay, no, they're a bit bigger. The Shulchan Aruch discusses how big kazayis is. And the Mishnah Berurah gets very involved with it. But that's because in Europe they didn't have olives. And therefore, they had to work it out based on something else. And therefore, they used all sorts of Gemara to try and work it out. But the stipler allegedly said that an olive is an olive. And if you know what an olive is, then you only need to have the size of an olive.
There's different sizes. But have they gone smaller now?
There's a view that says that even if they've gone smaller, but everything's dependent on what an olive is. It's something intrinsic in the olive. The reason is because it's a halachah mishum Sinai. That means it's not written before in the Torah. It's a halachah mishum Sinai. That the shivas haminim, the shivas haminim have all got special things about them that teach us halachas, and that which the zayis teaches us is the halachas of how much you're supposed to eat, right? It wasn't just used as a sign of how much you need to eat. It wasn't pshat that the Gemara understood you got to eat a certain amount. They said, oh, how do you work out how big that is? Oh, take an olive and you work out how big that is. Brother, there's something intrinsic in an olive that teaches you something about eating. Do you hear the difference?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, although we don't generally go with that, but Rabbi Yisrael Rakov said that he knows that the stipler himself used to give out to his family the size of a palm for matzah, which isn't that far off this very small amount. So it comes out, practically speaking, if a person wants to do it properly, then half a machine baked, you don't need to feel guilty at all. If a person has half a machine baked matzah, then you've definitely had a kazayis according to the mainstream views. That's it. You're taking everything into consideration, and you're certainly fulfilling a basic idea of a kazayis. If a person's not feeling well, a person's a chola, or matzah hurts them, they can even have a third of a machine baked matzah. The person's able to, and they've got no problem eating matzah, then for sure they should have full machine-made matzah for Moitzi Matzah. Because that way you fulfill what the Mishnah Berurah said. At the end of the day, what the Mishnah Berurah says is that we should be worried that eggs nowadays are smaller than they used to be, and therefore everything ensues from there. So again, halacha l'maisa, one machine-made matzah is the best of the best. If not, you can go down, basically, try and do what you can from there, up to about half a machine baked matzah. Anything less than that, then already the person should start thinking to himself, okay, do I really need it? But up to the best is one, then you go down to about half a machine baked matzah, and then you're good to go. Anything less, then you're already relying on being a chayla, and already relying on some leniencies. Regarding the wine, then a person can have 86 milliliters, no problem, and if a person can, they should have 150 milliliters for the first cup. If a person, yeah? Okay, so I'll get to that in a second. Regarding wine and grape juice, ideally a person should try and put a bit of wine in the grape juice or have the whole thing wine, but many people, myself included, find it hard to have wine on an empty stomach. and therefore it's absolutely fine to have grape juice if need be. But if you can, put a bit of wine in it. Regarding how much to drink, there's a special halacha regarding the 4 cups of wine on Seder night, that a person should have the majority of the cup. Irrelevant of how much is in the cup, they should have the majority of the cup. Regarding Kiddush, that a person only needs to have a majority of the reveals. But regarding Seder night, even if you got some massive cup like this, there's absolutely no need to, then you should have ideally the majority of the cup. And the best is to have the whole cup.
So, how does it work with the numbers? Like with the 86
or 150? Right. So, 86 is the size of the cup. 86. Yes, if you have a 90 milliliter little 90 milliliter becher, and you have the majority of that cup, you'll have fulfilled your mitzvah.
And what's the majority like? Because it's
above 45, majority is anything over 50%. Okay, just we've got time for one idea. It's quite late, Rivka.
Regular plastic cups hold 250 mil.
It's loads.
Sorry, 200 mil.
Yeah. No. Correct.
So that's what my parents actually correct. Have two different sized glasses. So like yeah. Friday night they get a big glass. And like
that's exactly what we're discussing. Exactly, yeah, exactly. That's exactly. And some people will change, like we discussed just now, some people will change this next Friday night, Seder night. Some people do for the first cup, they'll do a big cup, because it's kiddish. The other cups, they'll do a smaller cup. But yes, it's definitely better. It's definitely better to have a smaller cup, let's say a 90 milliliter cup, and drink the whole thing, than to have a larger cup and to only drink the majority.
Is this the same for Shabbos? Like Havdalah, we use a different glass
to drink all of it? No, again, Havdalah, there's no dinner of drinking the whole thing or even the majority. Or Kiddush. Havdalah and Kiddush, there's no dinner of drinking the majority or the whole thing. It's just a din. Yeah, especially din and seed, because that's a din in drinking cups. Just one idea just to finish off with, so we have some hashkofa. Well, first of all, we discussed the importance of the mitzvahs. Right? This is a mitzvah, which is actually one of the mitzvahs that a woman is mechuyev in, even though it's a mitzvah seichel not grama. But besides that, it's an idea which really, I feel, is one of the most important ideas of Seder night, which is what we're discussing. It was a couple of years ago. We just started the Seder. I was actually over here, having it at home. And we just finished Manish Tana. So my kids asked all four questions, and learned all off by heart, and we all sang it, and we sang it all together. And then we moved on to Avodim Hoyinu at the Five Mitzrayim. And like my father does, I said, the Teretz is my children. And then we sang Avodim Hoyinu. And then I said to the kids, I said, you asked, why is tonight different? And then I spoke out literally word for word what Avodim Hoyinu says. And I said to the kids, and therefore, if not for the fact that we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we would all still be Mitzrayim. And my Leah said to me, no, it's not true. I said, it is true. I said, if we wouldn't have been taken out, if you wouldn't have been taken out, I would still be there, you would still be there. And that's what we're celebrating tonight. And she said, not true. I said, it was. I said, it was our bubbas and their bubbas and their bubbas. They were all in Mitzrayim. She said, it wasn't. It was the Yidden who were in Mitzrayim. And it hit me. She'd been taught in school, the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. Who are the Yidden? Some film, whatever. The Yidden, the Egyptians, some cool story which happened many years ago. Nothing to do with us, as far as she was concerned. And we sat there, and we spent the next good 10 minutes or so, at least, trying to bring it down to the kids. That no, tonight affects us. It affects us. And we spoke it out. We spoke out that, you know, you've got a babi, and she had a babi, and you've got a zaidi, and he had a zaidi, and he had a zaidi, here's a zaidi, and he had a zaidi. And it wasn't that long ago. If you work out the generations, it was not that long ago. The Torah was given in 2448. We're now up to 5779. Help me out. That's, what, 3,500 years ago? 3,500 years ago. How long's the generation? About 30 years. So, 100 years, call it 100 years, 3 generations, 1,000 years, 30 generations. Was it 100 generations ago? It's not that long ago. And we made it clear, your babi was in Mitzrayim. If she wasn't taken out, she would still be there. Because we would still be there. We'd still be slaves. And we made it practical. But the problem was, is that they'd learnt so much about the story, but hadn't actually made it personal at all. It had nothing to do with them. And realising this actually answered the question which I had. I had a massive question always. We start off the Seder, and we start off Manishtana, and we say, Avad Mayinu, we start talking about the story. But then, if you ever noticed, then the Haggadah goes into all sorts of droshes. So Avad Mayinu, so the kids say a Dvar Torah on Halach Manu. They say Dvar Torah on Manishtana. They say Dvar Torah on Avad Mayinu. And then they all fall asleep. Why do they all fall asleep? Because we're going to all sorts of droshes. We go into all what the Chiyuvim are, and the experiences of various different Tanoim. And then finally we go back to the story. Finally we go back later on to what actually happened in Mitzrayim. We talk about the actual plagues. We start and then we stop it. And I realised, maybe, that this is Peshat in Avad Mayinu. Avad Mayinu is like a title to start the Seder. The title is, It Affects Us. The kids ask Manishtana, what are we doing? What are we playing at tonight? The answer is, it affected us. That tonight on Seder night is the night when we are reinvigorating, re-strengthening our Emunah. Because we've got to realise that Nisim were done to us. To us, not to the Yidden, to us. Avodim Hoyinu, the Pharaoh Mitzrayim. And if not for the Nisim, we would have been there. It's affected us. Okay, now we've done the introduction. Okay, you've got to realise, kids, there's a Chiyuv, and then we go back into the story. Avodim Hoyinu is the title. It's setting the scene for what the night is. What's supposed to be the scene for what the night is? Making it personal. How do you make it personal? By going through the story. The chiyuv of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Sibbi Yetzias Mitzrayim, is saying over the story, nothing else. It's making the story as clear as possible so that we can actually feel Hashem performed open miracles for my family. He performed open miracles that affected me. And therefore I have a relationship with him. That's the night. And therefore the clearer the story is, the clearer you get about each plague, and you speak it out, and you speak it all in Midrashim, and you get it clearer and clearer and clearer, and the more powerful the story will be for our Munna and for our kids as well. That's just an important idea. As we approach Pesach, we've got to start gearing up to what we're trying to achieve. What we're achieving on Seder night? We're achieving a recharge of our Munna. How do we achieve that recharge of Emunah? By making it personal. By going through the story and realizing it affects us. So Mitzvah, we should all become all the mitzvahs properly. And we should become all the ideas and the recharge that Mitzvah Pesach brings. Thank you.